From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Every gardener has their obsessions, or maybe a nicer way to say that might be to call it their signature plants, the ones that help define their garden. I confess to a serious issue with gold-leaved things, and last time I checked, my friend Ken Drews had more than a few plants with variegated leaves of all kinds of daring patterns and hues that catch your eye in his New Jersey garden. Today's topic is how those colorful leaves actually do very important jobs in our landscapes beyond just looking pretty. But first, this message.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs. Flower bulbs for landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners at colorblends.com. Season your spring with Color Blends this fall.
Regular listeners all know Ken Drews as an old friend of mine and the author of 20 garden books, including The Sensual Garden and The New Shade Garden, and an earlier book called The Collector's Garden that figures into our subject today. And Ken is my co-creator of the Virtual Garden Club online series of classes that's marking its two-year anniversary this fall. Hi, Ken. Are you ready to talk about a few of our obsessions?
A few? Well, I knew we were going to talk about this, so I went around the garden, you know, just making a simple list of 30 plants.
Oops.
30 gold and variegated plants. And
yeah,
I was thinking, even, okay, I thought I wasn't going to shop anymore. You know, it's over. But if I see anything weird, different, funny shapes, zigzag leaves, gold, or a variegation I've never seen before, or a puppy, or a kitten.
Well, and you don't plant the puppies, you adopt them and love them.
That is correct. Well, right. Yes, I love them all.
Yes.
Terrible.
Yeah. We recently did a webinar together, I don't know, a month or so ago, called Meet Your Next Favorite Plant and How to Use It. And one of the topics, we kind of went through a bunch of different sort of thematically grouped kinds of plants. And one of the topics was, I think we called it Light the Way with gold foliage. And we covered the gold leaf plants and the jobs they serve for us. And since then, you and I have kind of been talking about this subject back and forth when we chat all the time. And, you know, oh, what about this one? What about that one? But in your book, The Collector's Garden, you really kind of went around the country and you met lots of people who have, well, again, I keep using the word obsession, which sounds negative, and I don't mean it to be negative, right?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think of a different word.
So that was that empty spot was that you was that we couldn't think of another word. No, passion, true, right? But collecting, I mean, in a way, it's partly that, right?
Well, it's dangerous. And yeah. I remember 30 years ago when people were telling you how to design your garden, they always said collector's gardens are impossible, they fail. And what they mean is a hodgepodge of lots of disparate things with no sense of order, or, you know, just blatant accumulation of odd things. But the collectors that I found doing that book, you know, somebody had 20 kinds of lavender or something like that. So they specialized. Maybe specialists would have been a little better, but
right.
I guess I specialize in any plant that I see.
Oh, that's an interesting filter. So the thing that's in common about, and we both have, I have even more gold plants, I think, than you do, but we both love gold leafed things. And we'll talk about those. You probably have even more variegated things than I do, and I have a few key ones. But what do these two kinds of bright colored leaves, whether it's on a shrub or a tree or a perennial, ground cover, whatever it is, have in common? And that's that, like I said, what we talked about, and we called it Light the Way when we did it in our webinar, is they catch the eye, right? They are attention, exclamation mm-hmm. points, not mm-hmm. columnar like your physical exclamation points in your beautiful garden, but these are another form of exclamation, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking about how sometimes I'll plant something to misdirect the view, to mm-hmm. grab attention away from something, like traffic or the neighbor eyesore, you know, something like that. And I have a lot of things that terminate a view, you know, that at the end of a path. So it actually carries you down the path. So that attracts your attention. And there's lots of things that I treat as if they were just plants.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When we started the garden here, we made a nursery bed and we made little nurseries around the garden so we could plant things that we hadn't planned a space for and just have them grow a bit. And one of those we called the cloud bed. Actually, we had two. One had variegated plants and gold plants. So the variegation was yellow or gold or on green. And the other one was white on green, which we called the cloud bed, this little nursery. And we just kept plopping stuff in that was variegated. And it became so beautiful that it became an area of the garden that we still have today. So it was variegated plants, but it was also things with white flowers.
So yes.
It kind of all goes together. I wish I planned more. It's chicken and egg in many cases. Sometimes I'll get something variegated and like the cloud bed, the garden gets planted around it. It becomes the first thing, the impetus for a planting area.
Right. A long time ago, 20 years ago, I imagine, friends from Seattle, and I've spoken about them before, Glenn Withy and Charles Price, who are garden designers, they came to visit, and we were talking about kind of my making more long views and setting up more structure in the garden mm-hmm. and helping move the eye around. And they gave me sort of this, you know, and I'm not going to do justice to their wisdom, but they talked about, okay, so we know you want to enjoy this axial view from here, like, you know, from the patio right. or from a key spot inside your house, even more important, because a lot of times of the year we're not in, you know, we're not always out in the garden looking at the garden. A lot of times we're in the house, a lot of times of day and times of year, looking out. So these key axial views, and like you said, at the end of it, you might pick a big variegated thing, or for that matter, it could be at this time of year, it could be a very large white flowering hydrangea, like a hydrangea paniculata. You know, I have some really big old ones and they scream across the yard, you know, quite a distance away, right, at this time of year. But the variegated foliage or the gold foliage at the end of that axis. But what they said to me was, okay, that's good. But along the way on the ground level and the intermediate level, left and right of that path, sort of that roadway to that view, you know, let's give it some help to pull the eye further, further, further. And so not literally flanking the whole pathway, visual pathway out to the screaming plant, but, you know, here and there along the way, there were other hints of that coloration. And that really helped a lot. And that's something that I think about a lot also when I place my seasonal pots. I have a lot of big pots. Like I have two big pots that have, and when I say big, I mean like 2.5 feet across or more, you know, like whiskey barrel-ish size, mm-hmm. but not made of wood, that have variegated red twig dogwoods in them. And when I'm thinking of where to place those, you know, I could use that to help guide you to a bigger variegated view somewhere in the distance. You know, I could place them along the way kind of thing. So,
yeah. I have Heuchera villosa citronelle, which is a heuchera with lime colored foliage that doesn't die. Because
a lot of heucheras
just sort of croak. But this one, and I've used it just like you're saying. And as you're saying that, there's an area that I made the path get narrower and narrower as it goes away. So it really looks long and deep when it hits that variegated plant that isn't gigantic and makes you think it's bigger and further. And there's a lot of what people call rooms here. And I don't know if we plan that exactly, but we have areas that we over the years have sort of encased or closed. Mm-hmm. And when you walk through the garden, there's all these series of surprises. And we've used variegated plants a lot for that. Sometimes to get your attention before you get to the next place, to make the next thing more exciting and surprising.
Right. John Gwynn and Michael Focarelli, two great gardeners up in Rhode Island and Little Compton, they have a garden of rooms and actually kind of walls of greenery that enclose the rooms, more formal. And there's one I think you come into and you don't realize it's going to be this like screaming gold room because you've come out of another area mm-hmm. and there's these walls of green, these hedges. And then suddenly you come to the entryway and it's like, it's just gleaming in this place because they've put all these gold and golden green things in there. And it's like you've come out of a darker spot into a lighter spot, you know, accentuated by this, all this goldness. So it can be super high drama. What are some of the ones that you rely on? I just mentioned, you know, that I really love the twig dogwoods, and I have both the variegated ones, like Ivory Halo is a great one, a red twig dogwood, and that stays more compact and more rounded, sort of mounded in shape. It's not quite as large as some of the others. But I have silver and gold, Cornus cerisea, silver and gold twig dogwood, gold twigs and green and white leaves, and that's a little bigger. And I also have one that has red twigs and gold leaves, which is Sunshine, Cornus cerisea Sunshine. So I've used those. Those are, plus then you get the bonus of winter red twigs to lead your eye to a place. But at any rate, I don't know what are some of the plants that you find are serving these purposes in your garden?
Of the 30?
Not the 30. I mean, some of the big payoff moments, I mean, you know, the ones Yeah. Like I know when we did the webinar recently, you were talking about that beautiful celestial shadow Korean hybrid dogwood. Mm-hmm.
That is one. There are trees like Robinia pseudoacacia frisia, which has gold leaves and it keeps the gold through the season. That's a tree. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing about, it's not funny really, but when you look out, that grabs your eye and it's sort of like springtime, you know, because that color is the color of when the leaves first come out. There are a lot of chartreusey colored leaves on trees. Mm-hmm. But this one doesn't lose that color. So it's very refreshing.
Right. Right. I have that tiger eyes sumac.
Oh my gosh, which I've killed three times.
Cut leaf staghorn sumac tiger eyes, which is gold. Very, I don't even know how to describe the foliage, but very
ferny, feathery.
It's just beautiful. Cut leaf, as it says in its name, but and that stays gold as well. So that's a more intermediate height. It's like a shrub and kind of eccentric in shape and suckers here and there, but you know, you can control that.
We didn't say that a lot of things that start out gold and even stay gold till the beginning of August go green.
Yes.
So that's something to try to be aware of.
Right. And so the red twig dogwood Sunshine, Cornus cerisea Sunshine, stays gold until it drops its leaves in the fall. You know what I mean? It's gold, gold, gold. And this cut leaf staghorn sumac tiger eyes stays gold. And I think what you just mentioned stays gold. Yes. And that's
the Robinia, right.
Yeah. So we're really... And I think your dogwood does too. It's variegated gold and green.
It changes, but it does keep the gold cast to it. It's, in the spring, it's a little brighter and more defined, but it's still gold. And that's funny because in the evening, just before sunset, the light around the whole garden is kind of yellow, or maybe it's red, but everything looks yellow. And this plant you can't take your eyes off it.
Right. Right. So that's another point about these plants with these bright colored leaves is where we place them in the light behind them or at different times of day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, can really accentuate it. Among shrub sized, but not shrubby plants, because it's a giant herbaceous perennial, I love that gold Japanese, the spikenard, the Aurelia cordata sun king, which gets to be this massive, its eyes to the ground, but it gets to be this massive perennial. I mean, certainly 5 feet high and across or something, or 4 feet high and 5 feet across. I mean, it's this big, big, big thing, Sun King. And that's really, I mean, that could serve as a seasonal traffic director, you know. You'd want to walk toward that plant, right? You'd be attracted from a distance toward a plant of that substance and color.
Sometimes the gold or variegated things are wimpy yeah. versions of the parent plant, the species, and sometimes they're not. But as you're saying that, I'm thinking of some of my favorites, like you may know Symphidum ex Uplandicum Axminster Gold.
Now, translate that into English for us. Do you, I don't know.
Comfrey. It's comfrey, a comfrey. Yeah. And yeah. it's really big. And I saw it at Wave Hill, many years ago, and you couldn't get it anywhere. Now you can. Mm-hmm. Now you see it. Probably from tissue culture, because it's a funny thing about propagating, which is true with several plants, like even snake plants. You can't make root cuttings because it loses the variegation. And that plant loses its variegation. But now it's on the market, which is great. And I've had the variegated horseradish for decades.
And that's a white and green variegation?
White and green, and it's different every year, I think, by the temperature in the spring, actually.
So the pattern is different, like the mosaic on it, sort of the white and green?
Well, splashes of white.
I see.
And
I see.
Sometimes a leaf is almost completely white, and it's white. It's really bleach white, beautiful.
Plus, and you can get some horseradish.
No, you can't, because then you're going to lose the plant.
Well, I know, I'm teasing.
Some, you're right. You could get some.
A little piece.
Right. And, you know, I have several red buds, weeping red buds. That's Cirsus canadensis. And I have one, and I think there's more than one on the market. But we've talked about it before, Silver Cloud. And that's what it's like. It's like a cloud, because it's not super blaring in your eye variegation. It's subtle, and those leaves are always moving, and that's just a gentle thing. I actually cut some things from the porch to that tree to make that the end of the view, and it's just like a cloud has landed in the garden.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about Glenn and Charles, and we sometimes have guests when we have our webinars, and I think design guests, that might be some people to bring in for the webinar.
They sure know a lot. So what about, as I talked about earlier, they encouraged me not just to put that big stoplight at the end of the view shed, you know, on axis in the distance, but to help dress it up along the way here and there to tease your eye in that direction. And so what about some sort of ground covery or smaller perennials, or what other things? You mentioned the heuchera, for instance. Well, let's talk about a few other ones that, and whether it's variegated or whether they're gold, like some other things. Like I use a lot of Hakanokloa macro all gold, the Japanese forest grass.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And, you know, kind of like announcing the top of the path as you walk up to the house here. It's like there's clumps on either side as you get toward the top. So it sort of says, come here, you know.
I have a couple of, I guess they're raspberries or blackberries. They don't really have fruit, but Rubus cockburnianus golden veil.
Yes.
That's one that it doesn't change color. That is yellow gold in the spring, yellow gold in the fall. And there's a short kind of ground cover one, Rubus ideus aureus, which is really ground covery. You know, the stems are about 12 inches high, and it's a ground cover.
Yeah. And the one thing about the Rubus is that we should say, just as a disclaimer, is that if you're in an area where they fruit and set seed, they're more invasive, not just spreading sideways. So you have to look those up if you want. There's certain areas that they're not good to grow.
They don't reproduce.
Yeah. No, I have them too, but they don't reproduce. Yeah. Don't you have some a chorus, maybe some sort of a chorus? Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Like, and a chorus and carexes too. There's lots of carex. They're grassy looking plants that aren't really grasses. But a chorus is a plant that likes a wet situation. And there's a lot of variegated ones that are gold and green and little scrappy leaves. And one that I love that, if you can find it, it's Acorus licorice. And if you snap a leaf or tear it, a blade, it smells just like licorice. And it's about, I don't know, 6 or 7 inches tall. So it's a great, that's another great ground cover.
So that, we call it sweet flags, Acorus. Is that what we call some of those?
I guess so. Right.
Right. Yeah.
You know me, I just don't know the common name.
Yeah, no, I know. I try to think of them. No, but I try to think of them.
You know, we didn't say hostas. They're
well and true. So there we go. That's another.
Lots of hosta.
Right. Lots of hostas can do this job too. But the idea of helping move people through the garden, helping to create spaces, helping, you know, a pathway really catch your attention some more. And sometimes just making a great big statement. Like I have this one giant apple tree. I have a number of them, but one that's really, really big. It's like 150 years old. And, you know, it's just so massive. It's, I don't know, you know, 30 feet tall and 35 or so feet across. And sort of beneath it, I put this really big, we talked about it before, the Aurelia, the gold Aurelia, whatever that's called, and this big herbaceous perennial, because it's just this enormous mound, you know, and it's sort of, it's big enough and bold enough to stand to sort of fit with that big, beautiful mound of a tree. And you know what I mean? Sometimes you don't want something little, sometimes you want something big. And
how much shade is under the apple tree?
A lot. Yeah.
So that's a plant growing in some shade.
Oh, I almost always grow that plant in shade. Yeah. And it does fine, but it can take here in the north. It can take, you know, I have it in half sun. I don't know about full sun. I don't know what it would do, in full sun. I'm not sure.
There's that hydrangea cordifolia. I think it's called Little Honey. I don't know if
you've seen
that. Beautiful. Yes. Bullet. But for me, it's just, it wimps along and it has some black spots on the leaf. I don't know what to do about that. Because my other oak leaf hydrangeas are like fantastic and the size of Volkswagens. And this thing I've had for years. And I Marcia Donahue in Berkeley, California, I gave her one and it's just beautiful in that perfect climate. But mine is not happy and I've tried it in two places. It's not dead, but not happy.
Not softing. No, I don't have Little Honey. I just have two plain green leafed ones. Interesting. We didn't mention Spirea ogon, which is,
oh, there's so many. Yeah.
You know, that's a gold leaf Spirea. And for me, even here in zone 5, that, it has early white flowers, but once it leaves out, it stays gold. It kind of turns to a butterscotch color, the foliage, in like late October and November. Mm-hmm. And I have pictures that I've taken where, you know, the winterberry hollies are hanging on bare twigs. So we're talking about November and beyond, and that thing hasn't dropped its leaves yet. So that's a really good one for a long lasting bit of gold in the garden.
There's a lot of popular Spirea japonicas, and some of them, well, they all have sort of pink flowers and some of them don't look so great. So you have to make sure you get a nice one. There, you know what I'm talking about, like gold mound and stuff. And some of them just, it's too much, too bright. But
yes, some of them are too screaming. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think mine's called Gold Rug or something like that. And I don't know why it's a terrible name, but I think that's what it is. It stays short and the pink isn't screaming. Mm-hmm. And the flowers, of course, don't last forever, but the foliage is nice.
Yeah.
I kind of prefer the yellowish end of the for those plants, because the green kind of goes, I don't know, not as nice as the gold.
Yeah. Unless you know, maybe 2-3 minutes, tell me any others that you want to shout out, anything else that we haven't. I mean, I have a couple of Aurelias that are kind of like large shrubs, small trees. They're grafted, Aurelia elatas, Silver Umbrella, and Oreo variegata, that I love. And occasionally they'll sucker, the rootstock will sucker, but it's easy to dig out. So they don't go anywhere and they don't self-sow.
Remember Eleutherococcus, that used to be called Aurelia, I think?
Yeah. Yeah. Back in the day.
There's a variegated version of that. It has thorns and it's It's variegated white and green, and it's an okay plant to put on the edge of something that you don't have to walk through because it's all thorny. But that that's always it, talk about lighting an area. It really does. It lights an area.
I used to have a variegated flower, a variegated lilac flower sensation. Remember that with the white and purple flowers?
Yeah, did you get that to bloom?
Yeah, it did for years. And then finally, I don't know what happened to it, but
I don't
know. Speaking of variegation. But yeah, there's lots of possibilities. But what we're basically saying, just in sort of wrapping it up, is we can't help but collect things, and but we want them to serve a purpose too. And so, you know, I think even though sometimes, like you said, Ken, we don't know when we first bought them, and maybe they end up in the cloud bed. We don't know when we first bought them what their purpose was. They show us. They show us the light. They really do.
That's
these
true.
These golden and variegated plants. So, yeah.
And I think that listeners should forgive themselves.
Yes.
We're telling you things.
The occasional obsession. I'll say it again.
Right. Obsession. Well, right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for making time today. Now go out and pull some weeds. I've got to do the same.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll talk to you again soon. Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Margaret.
And I'll talk to all the rest of you soon again, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy gardening meantime.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs. Flower bulbs for landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners at colorblends.com. Season your spring with Color Blends this fall.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.